Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
President-elect and the President of the United States, Barack Obama, met today for the first time. Get ready to start talking about the transition of power. It's always been peaceful. I don't expect it to be anything other than peaceful. I think it'll be a very good transfer of power. We are adults, unlike a lot of people I see out there. They're screaming, they're yelling. I don't know if you guys saw New Balance. They tweeted something about the victory of Trump because the way they were treated in the trade world by the Obama administration they thought was unfair and didn't do them any justice and hurt them. So they were happy with the change. And lo and behold, people are burning their New Balance shoes because, of course, that's what you do in this country, right? Like, could you imagine today? Just think about this. This is the stupidity of it all. You're driving a Ford, and Ford tweets out, "Great win, Donald Trump. We're behind you, President Trump. We look forward to working with you in the future." People get mad, and they drive their Fords into walls to show the people. That's the stupidity of all. You work hard. You make money, you purchase something, and then you do something by burning it to show them that you're a mature adult. This is what I'll do. Not realizing that maybe New Balance got hurt by the Obama administration and some of their trade policies, and it hurt their business, and they had to fire people and lay people off and cut people's hours back and et cetera, but they don't care about that because they're mad because you don't support what they support because we're all about groupthink. So the president-elect and the president met today, and it was very, very good meeting. By the way, the two have never met. They have been in the same room together at a correspondence dinner, but they have never met. They've never shook hands, and obviously the animosity between Donald Trump and Barack Obama was very real. The fact that he came out just a few months ago and said that Barack was born here, even though being one of the big champions for the birther movement, look, the Donald and him, there was probably no love lost. But like a lot of things in life, right, you don't know somebody. So you fear them or you say things about them based on the things that you think you know about them. And I don't know. But they did meet today, and this is what the president had to say.
An excellent conversation with President-elect Trump. It was wide-ranging. We talked about some of the organizational issues in setting up a White House. We talked about foreign policy, we talked about domestic policy, and as I said last night, my number one priority in the coming 2 months is to try to facilitate a transition that ensures our president-elect is successful.
Wow. Ensures the president-elect successful. By the way, they did not look like they hated each other. They didn't. And I will have to say, you know, since the Donald's been president, there is a certain look about him, a certain confidence about him, an air about him. He looks presidential. He sounds presidential. And I hope this continued. But he went on to talk about how the meeting went and how long it went.
Thank you very much, President Obama. This was a meeting that was going to last for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and we were just going to get to know each other. We had never met each other. I have great respect. The meeting lasted for almost an hour and a half, and it could have, as far as I'm concerned, it could have gone on for a lot longer.
Could have gone for a lot longer. Supposed to be about a 10, 15-minute meeting. Went on for an hour and a half. There'll be more meetings like this. And it was interesting to see the two. And I don't think there is – look, in politics, all right, like in boxing and in UFC and in all of these things, you are selling something. You want people to watch. You want people to like you. criticism is the way it's supposed to go, because that's what you're trying to do. Not only are you trying to take down your opponent, you're also trying to elevate your stuff. So you're telling everybody, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Bad, 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 bad. I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Boxing's the same way. This guy's a chump. This guy's this. He's a little blah, blah. It's about selling the fight. It's about selling yourself. It's about selling yourself to the American people. There's no, look, they may not like each other. They don't have to be friends. But if you don't take things seriously in a situation like that. I think we forget that. I think we think that Trump really hates Barack and that Barack really hates Trump. I bet you'd find out later on down the line, they're not just like with Bush and you know, the Bushes and the Clintons. They may have been, you know, on the opposite side of the aisle. They may have been foes politically, and they may have said things about each other. But at the end of the day, they shook hands, and it is what it is. It was very important for President Obama today to have a show of unity. It was very important today that the president was not only there, but there in such a way where he's showing, look, this is what it is. This is soon to be the new president. We need to do all we can to get behind him. Knowing full well that much of what this new president wants to do is to unravel much of what this sitting president has done. But you have to show the unity. How many times have you thought, I can't stand this person, and then you've never met them, and then you meet them, and you're like, it's not as bad as I thought, right? It's like, we've had that in all of, every one of us has had that. Once you get to know somebody, it's like, well, it's not as bad as I thought. It's not. And I think something else happened today, too, that he kind of let on a little bit about, but he remembered to keep his lips, you know, that's one thing he's got to do, and he even said that, is I think he got the skinny on how this thing works. I think he got the 411 for all those people out there that are hip. And by that, I mean, I think he realized after talking to this guy, well, wait a minute here. There isn't the power you think. There is going to be a lot of heartache and frustration. There is going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to get mad at. You're going to be usurped of your power at times. It is, and you're going to have to make moves that are going to be completely unpopular to your party and other people out there, because it's the way of getting stuff done. And if you think you're going to roll in here in your first 100 days and you're going to get all of this stuff done that you want to do, you're going to find out there's a lot of this stuff you're not going to be able to get done, even though you've got the, you know, you've got the Senate, you've got the House, you've got, even though you're going to have issues with it. It is not a, I am a ruler. You're an equal branch of what governs us. And while you're the singular person in that equal branch, and you wield a mighty piece of power, you are still just an equal part of it. And I think he's going to have to realize that. And I think he did. And I think he always knew that. But like everything else, it's like you don't know what it's like to have a kid until you have a kid, right? You don't know what it's like. I remember the first time I went and played in a real stadium when I was playing soccer in Europe. I didn't know what it was like to play in a real stadium until I went and played in a real stadium. It's like, wow, this is totally different. You don't know what it's like until you find out what it's like. And I think that is something that was evident today there. And the looks on their faces in the way. And he said over and over again, and this is something, he said, you know what? He's a good man. He is a good man. And then he said it under his breath as almost if to say even to himself, this is a good guy. This guy's a good guy. We'll see what happens. I think the power transfer, you know, transfer will be peaceful. And I think there's going to be a lot of surprises coming up over the next, you know, 4 years. But I think that watching, I bet you Trump transforms between now and January 20th and starts to get a groove and a feel for what's going to be taking place and how this starts to work. And I think you got to look today at things like ISIS and I see, you know, ISIL and Al-Qaeda, whatever they want to call, Daesh, whatever you want to call them. And he started to get a look and appear into things that he didn't even get to see before this. And he's getting the same briefings the president's getting. He's starting to realize it is not as cut and dry as we should put 50,000 men here and we'll win. There's a lot of things that are going to be swirling through his mind. He still did not tell us about the aliens, but I think he's going to wait till he is officially the president. Then, because I'm telling you, man, he can't keep his mouth shut. There's going to be, at some point in time, there's going to be something that happens, right? He's going to say something about aliens. He's going to be like, I was at Area 51, and this little green guy came by, and oh, I didn't mean to say that. It's because he can't keep his mouth shut. You cannot swear that guy to secrecy. Like, if you wanted to get around to everybody, tell it to Donald. You know what we should tell Donald to do? Take Super Beats. It'll get around to everybody. Super Beats is amazing. Blood flow, important. And trust me, I swear by it. I go by it. I got a new box the other day because I go through it so fast. It keeps me going. Energy. We're moving. We're doing all of these things here. The Chad Benson Show is moving to a new, bigger studio. We got all this stuff going on. And as all this is going on, I'm still able to get through 6 hours of radio when I need to. I am up very late, and I'm up very early, and Super Beats keeps me going. It helps me with my healthy heart blood pressure, and it's just an amazing way for me to feel good about myself without caffeine. I swore off caffeine 2 years ago, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle. But Super Beats has helped me along the way. It gives me the boost and energy I need. And within 20 minutes, I feel it. And there's none of that crash that you get with all these other crazy energy drinks. One scoop in water or smoothie and away you go. And the taste is important because I have the palate of a 7-year-old. I don't like stuff like Beats. This I like. Phil, you enjoy it.
I do. And I'm not swearing off caffeine, but I'm certainly drinking a lot less of it now. Having Super Beats in the morning instead of coffee and then one right before the show. I don't get jittery because I used to drink, you know, a lot of coffee, a couple pots a day. Don't get jittery. I don't feel the crash after drinking all that caffeine like all the other drinks do. And it tastes wonderful from someone who doesn't like Beats. I think this is an amazing thing.
It is. We swear by it. The Chad Benson Show swears by it. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order. Plus, you're going to get nitric oxide indicator strips. They're free to use before in drinking. These Super Beats, and you sit there and you look and you go, wow, it's really working. So that way you know it works in your body. You're going to get a book called Beat the Odds Free and Free Shipping. But here's the thing that's amazing. Money where their mouth is. It's guaranteed or your money back. Go to ChadBeats.com. That's ChadBeats.com. 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff works. Go to ChadBeats.com. Order today or call 800-561-2677 and tell them Chad sent you. So what's next? We do it every day at this time, 20 after. We'll find out what's next. Next.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Every day at this time, we do So What's Next. So you're here. Maybe you're here illegally. So what's next? That's the question that needs to be asked if you're, whether you even hear legally, people are wondering what's next. Well, first and foremost, I'm going to tell you this. Take a deep breath. The thought process of building a wall, which really catapulted him to becoming president of the United States, while it may sound nice to a lot of people, and I think I can see why. Having been down there, having talked to border guards up and down the Rio Grande and stuff, the realization that if you build a wall, it's not going to slow anything down. They're still going to come across and they're still going to get over. Now we have to ask our question, so what next with the people that are here? A lot of immigrants are worried, both legal and illegal immigrants. They're worried about what's next. Take a deep breath. Look, legal immigration, while a thorn in a side and a subject that's sticky for all politicians, in truth, it's been a net gain on the fiscal side of things. Eventually, that will turn, will be a net negative, and then the negative will continue to grow. Right now, I've always said this, okay, so picture this. We're on a barge. There are only so many people we can get on this barge, and at some point in time, we're going to have too many people, and then as it starts to get even worse, we'll start to list, and then the thing will break. And it'll flip over, and it'll be a lot of trouble. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. How do we fix the problem? Somebody who's here illegally, if we're really serious about fixing the problem, and I've offered up my my two cents on numerous occasions, is we need to have in place a true E-Verify system that protects the employee, protects the owner, but also protects our country from illegal immigration. If you're starving and the neighbor next to you has food and you have to feed your family, at some point in time, you're going to think about going over and getting some of that, right? And if the neighbor continues to let that happen, not even really caring, that's on them. But if you tell the neighbor, hey, if somebody comes and steals your food and you don't protect them, we're going to start taking some of that food away from you. You know what happens? That's right. They'll protect it. It's the same thing. If we go after the business owners, if we're serious about it, and we make them as culpable as people that are here illegally, eventually those jobs will dry up and the wall that you've built is a different kind of wall that makes it impossible for them to work. So what do? They go back from whence they came, if that's what you're serious about doing. There is a lot of people here that are dangerous, but there's a lot more people here that have been contributors to our society, and I think throwing them out is first of all, it's impossible. Secondly, we're getting many of the best and the brightest from around the world who are escaping to come here. Why not utilize that? Have you thought about that? No. No. So before people freak out, let's think about what's next. What's next is everybody needs to take a deep breath, because we're already starting to speculate about what this soon-to-be president, the president-elect Trump, is going to do, even though he's promised a lot of things. But as we find out through all politicians, many of them promise. In fact, all of them do. But very few actually deliver. So what's next? How about a sit and wait? Because you running away and hiding now and getting out of the country, or 6 months from now if you're forced to, you might as well see what takes place before you jump ship. Chad, being honest. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
People texting me about immigration. We did in our what's next. So what's next? Chad, how can you say that about immigration? Legal immigration is bad. Look, I'm not saying legal immigration is good. But what I am saying is the reality of legal immigration is that so far it's been a net positive, it's not been a loss. All right? It's been a net positive. At some point, it will be a loss based on what people here do illegally, what they bring in, what revenues are lost tax-wise for the government. That's all they really care about. And also what cost us to the state to take care of in many times, in many places, whether it's feeding, whether it's school, it will be a negative. It's not there yet. Most economists, if they're honest with you, they'll tell you that, both conservative and left-leaning economists. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's been good. We've all benefited from it in some way, shape, or form. Just so before you freak out and say, oh, Chad's all for this open borders, I'm not. We need a strong border. But what I am saying is, don't think that this is the singular fix to all the woes. And don't think that it's been such a massive negativity. And I live in a place where illegal immigration has been around my entire life. I live in a place where I live here. I live in Palm Springs, California, Coachella Valley, where over 50% of the residents throughout this valley of 500,000 people or 430,000 or whatever it you know, Spanish speaking. I grew up in Southern California, lived in Texas. I have felt it. I understand. And we need to do something. I floated my ideas out there 100 times, which is, you know what? They want to be citizens. There's going to be a long waiting period. And they're going to forfeit their taxes for that entire waiting period. That'll be their penalty. And if they're caught working under the table or no longer paying, they're exited immediately. And if you want to build a wall and you think you can, knock yourself out. And if you think it's going to stop, knock yourself out. I've been down there. If you want to get serious like everything else, what do? You go after the things that would send, that sends people here because they're looking for something. You go after that and stop it at the root of it, which is jobs. Take away the opportunity to work because you're going to punish the person that would employ them. And lo and behold, you'll find out how fast people stop employing people they can't truly verify as here legally. Eventually, those people will have to leave because they'll have no jobs. But to think we're going to round everybody up and toss them out and these kind of things, it's insanity. And I think you're going to find out, and don't be disappointed. Do not be disappointed when the fence isn't built. And if it is built, don't be disappointed if it still seems to be going on. Because when I was down there and we were with the Border Patrol, they said, you know how many? We got a 16-foot fence here, and we're right on the Rio Grande, and we're looking at this 16-foot fence. And you know what they said? I got a bunch of 17-foot ladders. How big are you going to build it? Something to think about. Something else to think about, and I worry about it. You know, my son's six. If you listen to the show, God bless you for that. Jax is 6 years old, and he's in a first, second grade combo. But he, you know, middle school, if you ask any parent, that's the nightmare, is middle school. Sixth to eighth grade, seventh to ninth grade, depending on where you are in the country. I was seventh to ninth grade where I was because the high school that was in my area was so massive that they couldn't accommodate. And my junior high was bigger than most high schools. I think we had 3,500 kids at our junior high. So it was massive. That middle school, junior high area, that is testosterone's flowing. Hormones raging. You've really breaking away from your parents because you don't want to have anything to do with them as you break. And you're breaking away with an anger because you want to be free. All these things are going on. And you're also going through all kinds of stuff. Peer pressure, bullying, body image issues. All of these things are happening. And it is a tough time for kids. And I read this article, and I saw these statistics, and it shocked me that suicide is now a bigger killer amongst middle school-age children than car wrecks. Soak that up for a second. That to me is very alarming. That to me is extremely alarming when you think about the fact that, you know, usually when a kid is taken from us at a young age, it's a situation where it's a tragedy, it's an accident, it's a disease, you know, it's something that you just. But suicide. And high schools, you know, they're a little bit more open. Where middle school ages, they're having a tough time talking to these kids because you're still dealing with somebody who is truly a child, 10, 11, 12 years old, maybe 13. And at the same time, you're looking at, you know, high school kids, 15, 16, 17, their hormones are, while they're raging, they're starting to balance out somewhat. But these young kids, it is a tough time because they don't understand the fact of never going back. And all of these things are happening. And the fact that it's rising and it's doubled since 2007. Is scary. It's scary to think. And it is. If you've had a parent, if you've had a child, you know that those middle school years they're a beast. You're going through so much. I tell people, do you hate being older? It's like you know, Jack was like, don't you hate being old? And I think we all say there's an age that we all like to get to, 36, 40, whatever, that we feel good in. It's like, okay, I still feel, you know, I still feel healthy. I still, you know, I feel okay. I would like to be here because I don't have to go through all that crap I went through in high school. And I don't have to go through all that puberty crap I went through in middle school. I don't want any of that. I don't. But the fact that it's risen so much is scary. It is frightening. But there's a lot of reasons. And the biggest reason, I think the reason that a lot of them are looking at is the fact that we now have a 365-day, 24 hours a day, 7 day a week, up-in-your-face life through social media. Life through social media. And I think with the pressures that kids are having, with the way that kids are being, you know, in some ways coddled, but in other ways, you know, you see what's going on. We talked about it before with bullying, right? But let's just take bullying for one instance. When I was a kid and there was issues, we would deal with it at the playground or after school, and that'd be that, right? Maybe we go tell a teacher, maybe we didn't. It was one of those things. But at 3 o'clock, whatever happened, I was going home. The bully would be going home, although nobody really bullied me at school. That's more of a most people stay away from me. But I'm not gonna lie to you, I was really loved in school, so I never really had a problem. But I was pretty awesome. I'm pretty awesome now. The truth is, though, is it was over, right? And you had the weekend to yourself, and we don't have that anymore. And also because of the advent of the internet, which has been technology has been a massive boom to us, but there are things out there, the peer pressures, the things that kids go through. And I think that parents, and that is my big fear, that those years that are coming up for Jack in 4 or 5 years, those things are going to be so, you've got to be on it as a parent. All right, you've got to be on it as a parent. But this is startling to think that car crashes aren't the big killer. It's suicide amongst 10, 11, 12. That to me is shocking. And it's not just one thing. It's a lot of things. But the fact that we're seeing it at such a high rate is shocking. And we have to deal with it as parents. We've got to talk to our kids. I'm always amazed at people who are afraid to talk to their kids. Or they now, you've got parents that want to be friends with their kids. Jack is the greatest thing I've ever done. He's my best little buddy in the world. But I'm always going to be dad. First and foremost, I'm always dad. I'm not your buddy. I'm not your pal. Yes, you're my best little friend in the world. But in the end, that usurps all of that stuff is I'm pops. I'm dada. I'm the dictator in this relationship. And you will listen to what I have to say, and you will respect mom, and you will respect adults, and you will do these kind of things because that is ultimately the most important thing is you learn that I'm not here to be your pal. I don't want to discuss these kind of – I see so much of that. I see that with a lot of my friends who their kids, they're like in their teens and their early 20s, and they're lost souls. And it's so weird because they were always more friends and pals than they were parents to them, and I don't get that. But I think that plays a lot into it. There's this weird parenting that's done. And then, take for instance, look at all these kids now that are in college that are out and I'm seeing it tonight in Berkeley again. I'm seeing it tonight in Baltimore. There are all these young, you know, these late teens, early 20s who are out there and they're crying and they're upset and all of these things are going on. And they don't know how to handle things. Like somewhere along the way, we've lost the way to handle our emotions. And our children, they don't understand that because we haven't helped them get a grip in their emotions. And you see them crying and people are devastated and they're talking about suicide and they're burning crap. And you're sitting back and you're thinking, you lost an election that you weren't even really a part of. And you're mourning. I heard somebody say yesterday, the Hillary's supporters are going to go through the same steps that people who are terminally ill go through. Anger, acceptance, maybe there's a hope. I mean, you're just like, wow. We wouldn't have gone through that. I have news for you. I would have woke up tomorrow if Hillary was president. I'd be talking about Hillary and what she's planning to do. At no point would I be crying. At no point would I be thinking to myself, I need to burn everybody who supports Hillary. I need to burn all of their stuff. If they make shoes, I need to burn it. I mean, I never would have thought of that. But it's not just the kids, but you see where we're going and think about where we're going to get in college. If these kids are at the rate that this is happening, almost epidemic levels, when you look and think about the fact that little 10-year-olds shouldn't be committing suicide. But think about what they're going to be like in 6 years. If they're this lost, if they can't handle their emotions and they can't handle, wow, we could be in for something. I hope not. I hope not. But I think it's another one of those things where it's not only just the emotion of the child, but it's the parenting that's involved with it. And we have to be better parents, myself included. Every day I make mistakes, and every day I want to learn from my mistakes because I want to be the best parent I possibly can to the most important thing in my life. And if you can't accept the fact that you're going to make mistakes, but you got to learn from those mistakes, then you're never going to grow as a parent. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can also text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. And remember, 20 past the hour, every hour at this time, we'll be doing So What's Next. So make sure you jump on board with that, because we're going to break it down to you no matter what it is, whether it's Trump's presidency or who knows what else is going to go on out there. We will break it down for you in our What's Next segment. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Your mama. That's right, I said your mama.
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Your mama. Say what? Mama. Say what? Say what? That's right, I said your mama.
So, Major League Baseball saw a great and thrilling World Series that included the eventual winners, the Chicago Cubs. 107 seasons since the Cubs last won the World Series. They finally broke their dreaded curse. The team that lost it was the Cleveland Indians. Every year, Major League Baseball gets gear from both the Chicago, or the winners and losers of Major League Baseball's World Series. This year, the Cubs donated their stuff, but the opportunity to get gear from the Indians was turned down by Major League Baseball, and wants the Indians, instead of donating it, to destroy it. Not because they don't like the Cleveland baseball team, it's because the team is called the Indians. Now, this would have been interesting to see what would have took place if the Indians won the World Series. It's easy to say you're taking it from the Cubs, right? Because they're the winners. But had the Cubs lost and Cleveland won, are you going to say, nope, I'm not going to take this? I think they probably would. It makes me scratch my head. I don't know. The insanity of it all. Same thing that goes on with the Redskins and with many of the other things that we see out there. It just makes you scratch your head. And, you know, if the sports have this big of an issue and it's this big, and you then it's one of these things where if it's that important for you to handle this, then make them change their name. Force them to do it. What you're trying to guilt them into doing it. Say, what? I know, right? But you're trying to guilt them into this. Force them to do it. Well, we can't force them. You could if you really wanted to. It's a private organization playing in your private league. You could probably force them to do something if you wanted them to. Or go to them with an offer so big they cannot refuse it, and it'll get did. There you go. It's that simple. It's just a talking point for most people. And again, it never addresses the issue, because that's what we love to do in this country, which is blame something for other things, but never truly address the actual issues at hand. From there, we move to say, what? Ferraris, if you want one, well, who doesn't? Well, there is a Ferrari for sale. It's a 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO. How sought after it? Well, it's a little sought after. There were 36 made. 36. One is for sale. It was raced at Le Mans and Sebring, and despite being over 50 years old, is still capable of going from 0 to 60 in 6 seconds. Top speed is 170 miles an hour. Did I mention it was a Ferrari and there was 36 made? 36. Makes it what, ladies and germs? Makes it rare. How rare? Well, it's coming onto the market for the first time in 20 years. John Collins, who runs Ascot-based Ferrari Specialist, is saying that it is for sale. Starting bid is going to be £45 million or $56 million. That's a lot of money, but it is a holy grail, they say, of car ownership. We shall see. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text us, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Hey, Phil, do you think we should start a GoFundMe page to see if we can get one of these?
Get a Ferrari? Hell yeah.
Yeah, a GoFerrari-me page would be the best thing I think it would be called. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.